So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. It's, you know, another day that we get to sit at his feet. And it's not something that we take for granted. We know it does not take human effort, but it takes the grace of God. It takes his love. And yesterday we were looking at this aspect of meditating on these things, you know. And this was the aspect of right thinking. You know, as a man thinketh, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So there is that place of warfare that is in the mind, that which we think can influence our lives. And you know, nations and people have grown into great wars. They have built great things, or, you know, destruction has taken in mighty ways just because of thoughts. I mean, I think it's Miles Monroe who said that the world is run by dead men. That means the ideas of dead men are the ones that actually rule the current world. I mean, almost everything is an ideology. So you find that battles that the enemy will always bring our way always happen in the mind. As long as the enemy can paint for you an image of your defeat, can paint for you an image that you are, you know, being bewitched, or that you have been affected or attacked, and that things are going down, then, and you start to believe it, then it is possible that you will be defeated. Because one of the challenges that we go through, and that one of the liberties, that God has given us, is the liberty to decide things, or to think things, and or to create things. And our minds become creative faculties that receive impulses or thoughts or ideas from the spirit or even from the body. And if we do not educate our minds to think right, then we shall live in defeat. So there is a pattern by which we are called to think, by which we are called to meditate and to take stock of, you know, to take inventory of. And that is, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, and the things which you learned and received and had and saw in me, this do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul continues to use his own life as an example that the church can follow. Remember, I said, as through the gospel I became your father. You know, in though you might have many 10,000 teachers, but you have few fathers, but in Christ I became your father through the gospel. And he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That means I have lived with you. I worked when I was with you. I worked with my hands. I did not eat anyone's food without pay. You know, I showed you a pattern of how to live, of how to live as Christ on the earth, of how to be productive, of how to live self-controlled, of how to live righteous lives, of how to live in the dependence of God and the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of the persecutions that Paul was going through. He knows that he is setting an example to the church. And that is why he says, and the things you have learned and received. So that means there are things that we learn, that is by teaching, but there are also things that we receive. You know, this is impartation. Yeah, when the Bible says, when the Spirit entered into me, when he spoke to me. So there is a certain spirit, there is a certain impartation that happens when we hear from people, when we hear from men of God, or when we hear even from certain, you know, music and things like that. Certain impartations take place. There are certain, you know, when God has placed men in your life who are able to speak to you, then they also realize with time that you also become a partaker of the Spirit, or a portion of the Spirit that they have. Elisha, think of Elisha and Elijah. You know, think of Timothy and Paul, and you can think of Titus, you can think of Tychicus. All these were men who served with Paul, and Paul is able to know that they are like him. And that's why previously we understood how he says, I'm sending to you Timothy, who as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. That means he could be able to clearly say that this is my son. That means he will have every responsibility, every right. His character will be like me. And so I can send him to represent me. So there is that place that God calls us to also receive. So to learn, you learn by school. You also learn by observation or apprenticeship. The things which you have learned and received and had and so in me. So it takes your effort to also receive some of these things. It takes your diligence. Remember, Paul was very keen about training. I think in 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, and it says, the things that you have had me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will in turn be qualified to teach others. So is about discipleship and growing the disciples to be able to disciple others. And if we continually think of it that way, then we will not be much worried about numbers, but about impact. Because when you are faithful, let's say to just 12, even the Bible says that he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. It does not say will be faithful in much. Says that if you're faithful in little, you are faithful in much. That means the same level of faithfulness that is used to establish how your faithfulness is in little is the same message by which heaven recognizes and says, also, you are faithful in much. So we must not focus on, at times, on numbers and certain aspects, but we must also look at the aspects of faithfulness. There was a point when Jesus, all his disciples left him, except for the 12, and he asked them, to you, will you not also go? And Peter says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of life. So we must always know that there is a place where we receive, there's a place where we learn, there's a place where we listen, and the things that we see, we hear and see. And the Bible says, when you've done all this, do. That means it's action. You need to do it. These things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, the Bible says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even then, in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he goes on into greeting. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. So remember Paul, and that's why when it concludes, all those that are in Caesar's household greet you. Remember, Paul is already a prisoner in Rome. He's a prisoner of Caesar, but he has access. You know, he has access to all the courts, to all the officials, and he's also in a place where he needs support. You see, Paul learned a certain secret, and he say that he is grateful to the church that the church remembered him, and they've been able to send aid to him. And it's like, it's not because they did not want to, but they lacked the opportunity. I'm thinking it must have meant that they were struggling of how can we send money to Paul. Their main concern was, Paul is in prison. He is all the way in Rome. We are all the way in Philippi. How can we send our aid to him? Is there someone we can trust? Then they decide to send Epaphroditus. So they are able to send because indeed in their hearts they had the joy. You know, Philippi was one of the big towns in Macedonia. And so when you see the scripture says that when he's writing to the Corinthians, I want to tell you of the grace that was upon the Macedonian churches. You know, that first of all, they gave of themselves first to God, then to us. Then they gave even beyond their own capacity. And it was being an example that it's when you give, you should not give grudgingly. You must share in the work of the gospel. And that is why Paul speaks very fondly to the Philippian churches. In chapter 1, remember how he speaks and says that they are partners, they are partakers with him of his grace because they shared with him in the work of the gospel. So this is a church that when even is in Thessalonica, they sent to him aid time and time again. Yes, Thessalonica and Philippi and Macedonia were quite close, but you see, God knew that this, he had worked in the church in Macedonia and their hearts were free givers. And you can even wonder, why was it that, remember, he wanted to go to Asia, but the Spirit of Jesus declined him to go to Asia during his first missionary journey. As he was trying to think through where to go, then eventually he has a dream and he sees a man of Macedonia calling him out to come and help us. God knew that Paul needed encouragement for his missionary journeys, and that is why he ensures that he first goes through Macedonia. And in Macedonia, he's able to meet people that have the understanding of partnership in the gospel. They have the understanding that indeed we need resources to work out ministry. We need partners. We need men who will stand with the gospel. And you see, the beauty of Paul is that he did not force anyone. He did not take it on their own, you know, manipulation and all that, but he greatly rejoiced in every church that shared with him in the work of the gospel. And you see, when they're in Thessalonica, they sent to him time and time again. But what he gives his reasons. One that is very clear is, and what that stands out, he says, "That I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." That means I know how to live in little, in poverty, but I also know how to live in riches. And he says that I have learned the secret of being content. Now, we often think of that word there, content, meaning the aspect of being at peace, being at tranquility, without any cares, without any stresses of wants or need. But rather, that word there, content, in Greek, I think it's otakes, it's a word that stands for the one being independent of man. Paul is saying that he got to a point where he became independent of man's help. That means whether men give or they don't give, his life will move forward. He has learned the secret. He has learned that there is one that satisfies greater than the earthly things, and that is why that he is independent of man. That means if when people rejoice and remember him, glory to God, he will have enough, glory to God. But also the days when he is hungry, the days when he has to stay awake in the night, the days when he has to be in prayer for the various churches, the various troubles, the fastings, the fighting of wild beasts, you know, in Ephesus, and on all the different battles that he faces right now, he's even writing from a prison cell. When he has all those things to share, He knows that I have learned the secret of being content, the secret of being independent of man. That means when you're independent of man, then you have a dependency on God. You know, if you're someone that depends on, you know, people to give you for school fees, for, you know, for various needs, you will have to learn that there is a place where God provides. It is God that has the heart of the king in his hands. And if you can meet with God, if you can speak to God, then God can use the ravens to feed you. He can command people's hearts to turn and favor you. So it is God that favors us, and it is our job to continue to depend on him. If you cry out to God, then God is able to move the circumstances that you can be able to be provided for. But if you understand this secret of contentment, of being independent of man, then you can be able to live days of abundance and also days of scarcity and still not lose your cool, still not lose your joy, still be dependent on God. Because many people fall or lose their faith in their day of lack, in the day of persecution. But however, those that are consistent with God will know that indeed there are evil days that come our way, there are good days that are scheduled our way, but in all these things we must continually look unto God for help and guidance. So Paul is very grateful, and he's telling even the church, look here, it's not that I was after the need. And at times we often think that, why should I give to this person? He already has enough, you know, and things like that. But you see, he tells them that I was not just looking for the gift, but rather I was looking for that which will be placed in your account. The things that we do for the kingdom of God are actually credited to us. They are things that are accounted to us, our good works. Remember, we don't do good works for salvation, but we do good works because God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works which he had prepared in advance for us to do. So whenever we are we're representing Christ on the earth, be it in business, be it in education, be it in family, be it in the home, be it in, you know, in the media, then we know that we are fulfilling that which God has placed us on the earth to do. And all these are the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. So when you speak of these things, then that is when he says that he knows how to be hungry, he knows how to be full, he knows how to abound, he knows how to suffer need, and he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you have come to the place of contentment where you know that you're independent of man, then you know that the source of your strength is only Christ. That's why it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is God that will strengthen you and I. It is God that will walk with us. It's God that will guide our steps. If we submit ourselves to him, then we shall see his wisdom, we shall see his presence, we shall see his guidance. And that's why he tells them that, thank you, thank you. And Paul expresses thanksgiving to the church that indeed when they got an opportunity, they sent their aid with, you know, with Epaphroditus. And he says that, well, that it's not what I seek the gift, but the fruit that abounds to your account. And all that I have received are a sweet-smelling aroma going up and an acceptable sacrifice to God. So when we think of sacrifice in the New Kingdom, we are not thinking of, in the New Testament, we are not thinking of animals, blood and bulls. They are sacrifices. One is the sacrifice that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God, which is our giving. When we give to the work of the gospel, it's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Also, when we offer up the fruit of our lips, which is our sacrifice of praise, we are also bringing a sacrifice to God. And thirdly, also, the third sacrifice that we also are called to give in the New Testament is our bodies as living sacrifices. Offer yourselves, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so Paul tells the church, and now my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, at times we want people to, you know, there are people who claim these verses. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet they are not independent of man. Yet they are not content. And others will say, oh, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yet they don't understand that this is a promise for a church that is consistent, a church that has been faithful, a church that is giving, a church that has, you know, has filled that account, that remembrance account with God. And when they have met this, then God says that, Paul says a prayer to them that, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. At times you wonder, what is that need? Why did he not say all your needs? No. When you've entered the place of rest, when you've entered the place of contentment, then you will have only one need, and that is Christ. Christ becomes our ultimate source of fulfillment, satisfaction. When you find Christ, you'll realize that you don't need anything else. When you have met God, when you have encountered God, when you know that God is in you and you in him, when you are sensitive to his presence, when you know of your union, when you're constantly aware of your presence, of the indwelling presence of the Father in you by the Holy Spirit, then your heart can be at rest, knowing that, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there is a blessing that is available to givers. There is a blessing that is available to those who partake, who are partners in the gospel, Philippian church, who are partners in the gospel. And he tells them, you will also be partakers in my grace. So that means when God remembers me, when God pours out his blessings upon me also, then you are also partakers of the same grace. Indeed, God calls us to open our hearts to the work of the gospel. See that which is needed, that which needs to be done for the work of the gospel. Remember the missionaries. Remember those who are serving God in difficult places. Your hand be with them, your power be with them, and your prayer be with them. And even as you come to this point, yeah, I pray that God will give us more insight and understanding. Thank you. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Thank you. Almost missed your comment. Yeah, you say that it's one of your favorite scriptures. It shows that Paul was true to his spiritual walk, not only in words, but in action. It usually challenges me to ask myself if I'm confident to ask my children to imitate me in words and actions where my spiritual walk is concerned. Yes. Indeed, that is a place of reflection. And can you do the same? You know, for me, I'm just thinking, I've always watched my dad growing up, and every single day I would know and hear him pray for us in the morning. And for me, that will always challenge me that would our children know us as, you know, as people of prayer, as people who prayed for them, not only just prayer, but also in our walk. So we have a responsibility. It's a place of, you know, of reflection, and also just telling God to help us, because at the end of the day, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's the grace of God that continues to help us, and we shall make it. We shall, in time, as we continue being obedient, then you find that God grows our spirits, and before you know it, God has placed people under you because he knows that you have the capacity to lead them. So it's a place of faithfulness, it's a place of commitment, it's also a place of obedience, and knowing that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. God will help us. God will continue to help us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, the Lord, You've spoken to us about that place of contentment, that place of dependence, full dependence on you, that enables us to be able to fight the challenges, to fight the days of plenty and also the days of lack, that in days of lack we are fine, in days of plenty we are also fine. Why? Because you are our greatest need, you are our greatest satisfaction. And I thank you, O God, for everyone that continues to be a partaker in the works of the gospel, that lodge your remembrance upon them, that you shall supply their need according to your riches in Christ Jesus, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are faithful, you are holy, you are mighty. Watch over us. Continue to help us to be vessels of honor, vessels that can set an example to our families, to our loved ones, to our colleagues in the workplaces, both in word and deed, to our spouses, to our children, that we be vessels of honor. Indeed, where we have failed, have mercy and guide us on the right path. Pray even as we go ahead and do various activities today that your presence shall go with us, keep and sustain us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day. Amen.